Sometimes it can feel like food has an emotional control over you. Well, it's time to show your food who's boss with Noom. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Before we get started with tonight's episode of Benched with Bubba, I want to talk to you about RotoBaller.com, proud sponsor of the show. Do my written content over at RotoBaller.com, and this podcast is a part of the RotoBaller Radio Network. So I want to let you know that football season quickly approaching with you guys. Win big in 2021 with RotoBaller.com's NFL Premium Pass. Are you ready to dominate your season-long in DFS leagues? RotoBaller's NFL Premium Pass and Draft Kit include rankings, projections, and cheat sheets for all formats. Get exclusive draft articles, DFS tools, lineup optimizers, and premium Slack chats. Join in on the winning and take 50% off any Premium Pass. Use promo code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A, for another 10% discount. Just visit rotoballer.com/radio, sign up today, and start rotoballing like a boss. And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Batflip, episode 100 of Bubba and the Batflip. So quite the night we have here. It's going to be a fun one. Continue our recapping our FPAS draft and hole draft, starting with round 7. See how far it takes us in our open discussions like last week. It kind of was kind of by the seat of our pants, but it worked out pretty well. So we're going to keep going with that route and see where it goes. You check me out on Twitter at BDintric and my co-host, as always, for all 100 episodes on Twitter at BatflipCrazy. Toby, how we doing, man?
Wow, Bubba, I totally forgot it was episode 100. So such is life in the off season, right? You just, there's these huge milestones. Just, it's been fantastic. I also want to say that every single time you say, welcome everybody, I want to say like, welcome everybody to the wild, wild west. You know, I want to do the Tupac.
That's untouchable, like Elliot Ness. No,
That's
one of my
favorite. Come here for the fantasy football talk.
Stay fancy for baseball talk. Baseball, baseball.
Us rhyming.
Yeah, no. Everybody makes fun of me because, especially when I worked out during college, I worked in a cornfield for a research company for drought tolerant corn. And college kids, they made you do the hard work because I don't know if anybody's been in a cornfield, but when it's 100 something degrees and they're watering, it's humid inside those fields. So I lost a lot of weight that summer. And they had us out there doing those trials. And that's when the old school iPods, like I found it the other day, the old school big iPods. Those were new. So I had one of those like back pocket. And that was like when 50 Cent was big. I had them. I had like all these guys on there and all the Hispanic field workers would look at me and just be laughing the entire time because I thought I'd be by myself out there and I'd be like rapping out loud and they'd be making fun of me going the big white guy over here. And so that's where it all started. So now karaoke, they expect me to do stuff. It's entertaining.
Nice.
It's
fun stuff. Well, once a podcast, you're gonna get a Bubba karaoke for sure. You guys choose the song.
As long as we do karaoke, because it won't be pretty, but it'll be better than any. I found out doing with another show I do with Scott Bogman that I can't do voices very well. Like nationalities, like I can't do like an Irish accent, a British accent. I am horrible. Like in my head, they sound beautiful. Apparently out loud, not at all. So
I'm sure they're beautiful one way or the other, you know,
everything, as long as it's beautiful to me. Right. Isn't that what they say? So
for sure,
that's all that matters.
But, isn't that what Bubba and the Batflip is all about? I mean, just about
embracing the you.
They're beautiful.
Yes, exactly. Everything that's beautiful is what Bubba and the Batflip is all about. But what is beautiful is we left off in round 6 and recapping things for the listeners, I guess we could say, It was pitching was a little crazy. Relief pitching was very crazy. Steals were going pretty popular, I guess you could say. Was there anything else we should recap real briefly before we get kicking on the next part of the draft?
I don't think so. I think we covered a lot in the last show, but I think those are the kind of the major points. If you're just hopping in the middle of the draft, I suggest you go back to episode 99 and listen to that and then hop in with us here in 100. Because really, it was quite a fun show. I felt like 99 last time, just getting the juices flowing in the draft season. You know, is always nice. So,
yeah, there's really no set to what we're doing here. It's just kind of we're going to go through the draft, talk about our picks, talk about some picks that stood out, talk about picks we might be able to read on the draft board, because I can't wait till sometime in November when we actually get to look at it on a computer and we can actually see what's going on, because it's not the easiest thing. So bear with us, people. Like Toby, he quote tweeted my tweet of the picture. That's what we're using. And as you guys can see, what we see, it's not great. But that's what we were dealt, the hand we were dealt. So starting off round 7 in this draft went Rodgers, Buxton, Melanson. We get more closers starting to fly off the board here. I can't read that one.
Conforto?
That's Conforto? No, that's not Conforto, is it? It's a gray color. It's a catcher. Contreras.
Wilson Contreras.
Yeah, I only because it was gray, I could figure that out.
Oh, man, this is a fun game.
Yeah, Trent Grisham cannot figure out the next one.
Tommy Edman,
there you go. Tyler Molle, Ian Anderson, and then I took as my third pitcher in round 7, my SP3, I rolled the dice on Yu Darvish. And at that point in the draft, part of me almost went Blake Snell, but for the Bubba brand, I would have been just lambasted all over the place for doing that. So I went Darvish for two reasons. We documented it and talked about it many times, how bad that second half was. But could it have been a sticky thing, which I think a full offseason he could fix? Was it an injury thing? He was banged up a bit. One thing that was for certain, strikeouts were still always there. And one thing, if people do listen to episode 99 and remember me talking about innings and strikeouts, he still did very well in both those categories all season, even when things were bad. He was getting strikeouts. So that's where I went with Yu Darvish, thinking this is a guy that was going in rounds 1 or 2 last year. He felt around 7. He's my SP3. It goes back to kind of the discussion I had last year with Herman Marquez. I don't have to use him every week if I don't want to. You build your rotation. He's not technically one of your aces. He's like, if he turns out to be great and become an ace, that's outstanding. But right now, he's my SP3. As we keep going through here, I backed it up with a couple more pitchers where I really don't need to start Darvish every week if I don't want to. I would love to have that to have to. That'd be great. But I don't have to. So he's my SP3. We'll see. It could be like a complete wasted pick. It could be finding lightning in a bottle. We'll see what they do in San Diego there with him, but it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out.
Yeah, I mean, I really like it as a high. It's a super high upside pick. I mean, you know, like this is one of those picks where you make it and there's either like two ways that it goes, right? It either goes the way like, wow, I cannot believe you got Darvish in the 7th round. He totally bounces back. I mean, not to the level where he was at in, you know, 20 in the shortened season and even the season before that with the Cubs. I feel like that was maybe a little bit above maybe, you know, I don't necessarily know if he's a first round pitcher per se. Yeah. But second, third round pitcher, I mean, he could certainly do that. And if you look over his last, I think we talked about this a little bit on the last podcast, but if you look at, you know, the stickiest number, the best number, I don't know about the stickiest, but like the best number really to grade a pitcher at, like the one stat is K minus walk rate. And over his last 10 games, when he really struggled, he had a 30% K rate and a 7.8% walk rate. So he had a 22.2% K minus walk rate, which is absolutely elite over those last 10 games. And what happened to him was, if you take a look at his BABIP and you take a look at his home run per fly ball, the BABIP, actually the BABIP wasn't that bad. It must have been the home run per fly ball. Yeah. Yep. So it was over 20%, 22% over those last 10 games. So that was the major issue for him. And I don't know if that's going to, he's a smart guy. I'm sure he'll figure something out. Like you said, he was battling health concern. He was battling health issues throughout the second half. He just didn't necessarily look right and he really couldn't seem to fix it. So I think it's a great pick where you got him. You know, I think it's fantastic.
Well, thank you. But yeah, the big thing you mentioned is the K to walk percentage, like the full season, the 10 games. That's one thing I mentioned, like when I think he finished the season. He's one of the few that finished the entire season with a 20%. So in the 20% or higher. So I at worst, he's going to get your strikeouts. He's going to get the Rockies. He's going to get the Diamondbacks. He's going to get some bad. It's like, okay, I don't start him against the Dodgers. Okay, you don't start a lot of guys against the Dodgers. That's just the way it's going to go. But you get those other matchups and everything, and you can piece it together. So that's my philosophy on that as my SP3. After I took Darvish, where did I go? We went Jonathan India, and then you grabbed a closer in Will Smith.
I did, my second closer. Can you believe that, Bubba? What am I thinking? I just want to comment. I really like the Jonathan India pick as well. I mean, it's earlier, I think, than and Bubba, you're frozen. Just so you're, I don't know if you can. Bubba's just frozen, guys. So I'm just going to try to roll with this. I like the Jonathan India pick a lot. Simeone,
yeah,
I drafted India.
You guys just kept saying we're good. We're good. I can hear you.
We're good. We're caught up.
I can hear you. Yeah,
I can hear you. Okay, yeah. Cool. Okay, great. India, yeah, I mean, I just really like a lot what he did. You know, he brings the power speed combo, 21 home runs, 12 stolen bases. He got better, it seemed like, as the season progressed. You know, once they put him in the leadoff role, which I'm assuming he'll maintain, he was just absolutely lights out. So I really like that pick a lot. It's going to be interesting to see where he falls in drafts. I was hoping to get him coming around the next time, but, you know, clearly that did not work at all. I'm just pulling up his rolling average. Yeah, so for India, you know, his contact surge, he had a 92% in-zone contact rate over his last 40 games. So he was seeing the ball really well, making a ton of contact. The hard hit rate's not great. The ground ball rate was also down. His O-swing is solid. You know, he's got all the skills. He's got everything he needs. Obviously, you worry about, like, the quote-unquote sophomore slump, but I don't see anything in the profile that really worries me. So I really do like India, and I went with Will Smith, you know, as my second closer. It's a draft and hold. I've mentioned this before, but my approach on closers is going to be different now, especially in a draft and hold. I think in a draft and hold previously, I would have taken maybe, you know, two sure things, but maybe later on in the draft. But I feel better about drafting, you know, some strong closers here, you know, getting two of them. I'm not really going to worry about filling my bench with these, you know, kind of, you know, not crappy backups, but, you know, like when you don't get those solid closures, you end up filling the back half of your roster with a bunch of speculative save ads. And I really want to be pounding hitting there and getting plate appearances in a draft and hold. So I feel really good about that. And I mean, Smith, you know, everything was great from him. I mean, he had a higher ERA than usual at 3.44, but his whip was solid at 1.13. He had 87 strikeouts in 68 innings. 37 saves. He's on an obviously very good Braves team. 20.8% K minus walk rate. Not like Will Smith of his elite, elite, elite days, but more than serviceable in that role. He did give up quite a few home runs. You know, you want to keep that walk rate down. So I think that might be why we thought he had maybe not as good of a season as he really did. I mean, if he gave me this season again next year, I mean, sign me up for it. So I feel pretty good about my two closers in Kenley Jansen and Will Smith. I feel like the potential for 70 saves out of those two guys, which makes me feel pretty good.
Yeah, that's two lockdown closers, guys, like we talked about. You didn't pay like the elite, elite price, but it's two really, really top-end type closers. So, yeah, don't hate that at all. And you're setting yourself up. Like I said last episode, I kept wanting to take guys, and then they'd be gone. So then I started to get to the point. Well, I don't even know if we'll get to it this episode of where I finally ended up in saves, and it's not a great feeling, to say the least. After you took Smith, I can't see the next one, but it's Ketel Marte. Dalton Varsho goes in round 7. What's your thoughts on that? Because that's an interesting one right now. Is Varsho, like, we know what he could do. He's showed some power. He's got the speed. He's like that third catcher with speed potentially. There's discussions of, I think some early projections have him as the number one catcher. Other catchers don't. It's a really interesting dynamic with Dalton Varsho. So I've heard a lot of smart people talk about it. So what's your thoughts on Dalton Varsho this season? I know we liked him last year. This year you actually have to pay for him.
Yeah, I mean, I like Dalton Varsho a lot. You know, when I look at his projections, I had my first opportunity to plug the projections into my standing gains points spreadsheet. And by the way, my Salvador Perez pick is looking very good as the number 10 overall pick in my spreadsheet. But Varsho is, where is he? Did I miss him? I see Realmuto. Oh man, I'm missing him. And I feel like there's a small little person in the room next to me. So he's 92nd overall on this spreadsheet. And am I being visited? Daddy? What's up, bud? How's it going? This is a first in Bubba and
episode 100. Episode 100.
I'm pretty certain I'm going to get a question about Ninjago right now. Okay. So hold on one second. What's up, bud? Yes.
I went out of my room because I need to go potty.
You went out of your room because you need to go potty? Yeah. We'll allow it.
Good. Smart move.
That is
smart
an exemption move. From the yeah. You're not allowed to leave your room until mommy comes in to snuggle you rule.
Yeah. That's good.
Unless you need to go potty, yes. You can. Do you want to say hello to everybody? Hey. This is Beckett, everybody. Beckett, you're on television. It's kind of like you're on TV. That's Bubba. That's my friend Bubba.
Hi.
We're on mute.
Well, are we on mute?
Yeah.
We are not on mute. This is actually on the podcast right here. This is happening.
What's your thoughts on Dalton Varsho, Beckett?
He wants to know what your thoughts are on Dalton Varsho. If Dalton Varsho was a Ninjago character, who do you think he would be? You have no idea. I know, it's a tough question. All right, do you want to say congratulations on 100 episodes to Bubba? This is our 100th time that we're recording this right now. He can't hear you because I'm listening through my earphones.
What's his favorite s'more?
What's your favorite type of s'more?
Yeah, I can hear.
You can hear it? What's your favorite kind of s'more?
When the vibrations go through this tube, I hear them.
You hear the vibrations as they go through it, huh? What's your favorite s'more, Bubba wants to know before you go to bed?
S'more.
S'more. Remember, like,
because dad's a big s'more guy. So we need to know.
Graham crackers, marshmallow. Do you have like a particular type of dessert that you like with that? Yes.
I am actually the lightning ninja. I'm Jay the lightning ninja.
You're Jay the lightning ninja. All right, Jay the lightning ninja.
Nice.
Oh, don't mess with that, please. You're gonna go to bed now, Jay the lightning ninja. I'll see you later, kiddo. Good night.
Awesome.
Hi, Jay, awesome. The Lightning Ninja. All right, there you go, awesome. Ladies and gentlemen. Here we go.
I'm gonna edit that out. I'm not editing that. That's staying in the pod.
No, you shouldn't edit that out. I mean, that's gold right
there. That's outstanding.
Yeah.
That's sure. Off-season talk right there.
Whew. Big time. Big time. A lot of Ninjago talk happening in my household these days.
Gotcha.
So Dalton Varsho, I like Dalton Varsho a lot. If he's going this high in drafts, it definitely takes a little bit of the fun out of drafting him, I think, just because, you know, it's tough, but he showed in the second half. I mean, he was really good in the second half. I'll probably end up taking him when I dive in a little bit. Let's see. His contact was down, but still solid. You know, hard ground ball rate low, hard hit rates fine. Let's see a little bit of our
StatCast
metrics.
Toby, can I bother you real quick?
Yeah.
So it's our 100th episode, so I thought I'd surprise you with something.
Oh, really?
I have a special guest coming on the show. He just dropped in. So,
really?
Yeah, you have no idea who this is. You will when you see him.
Oh, man. I do know who it is. I can see him in the bottom
You can see him. Good. Good.
Wow.
He's one of the best NFBC players ever. You can find his work over at FTN Daily and FTN Fantasy. And he's on Twitter at RotoGut. Mr. Vlad Sedler, how we doing, my friend?
Wow.
What's up, fellas? How you
Vlad,
doing?
Vlad, how's it going?
Toby.
Good.
Bubba.
Welcome.
Good to see you guys.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I figured for episode 100 that we'd have Vlad come join the party for a little bit. I think he has something to talk to you about, Toby.
Really?
Well, I mean, first of all, I wanted to congratulate you on this 100th episode. And you know, obviously sorry that I missed you guys in Arizona. I was, you know, just like, you know, play by play.
Congratulations to you though.
Yeah.
A new addition to the family.
Yeah.
Yes. Second child, and yeah, happy camper. Life is good. And then of course, you know, I came to rub it in a little bit. But I don't need to, because all season long, the way that you ran with that, the way you owned it, man, that was freaking awesome. But, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And I came to collect on our draft champions bet too.
Oh yeah. I owe you. Cause I chose, ladies and gentlemen, I chose George Springer over Vlad Jr. I don't know who on earth would ever have done that.
I would say probably at that point, 78% of people, because at the time Springer was higher ADP. I think we maybe did this late February, early March. And at the time, you know, Springer was going to be leading off top 50. Could have been a different story if he hadn't got injured.
Yeah. But I mean, there was only one Vlad Jr. season, you know, regardless of what he had done. Even looking at projections for next year, Vlad Jr. is a top 10 player, which is just amazing to me. So kudos to you on getting that right. I owe you a draft champions. I owe you a draft champions entry. This is going to be good.
I'm going to wait.
And you beat me, I think, in an OC and a draft champions this year. So
yeah, but you know how it is. You're kind, but it's, you know, I'm probably looking up at you in our main event standings, I think, right?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. It was a forgettable season.
In the same draft. Do you guys have to be in the same draft champions? The one you put them in, or is it just whatever?
That's a
good question. I don't think it, I don't know. I think it might be more fun. I think Toby and I might be trying to avoid each other a little bit more this year. Or at least I think that's a good idea.
the last two years we've done a bad job of it.
Yeah.
Although I think I accepted an invitation to the OC that you put out. So that's probably my own fault.
Well, the other issue is we're both West Coast guys, and there's only, you know, we have kids. There are only certain times that we can make a draft. So, you know, we're like, oh, it's only you can do this time. Only I can do this time. What choice do we have? We got a draft. Hopefully we end up on opposite sides. Hopefully I don't snipe your pitcher of choice in the first or second rounds and go from there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, if we do end up in the same draft, I have to draft George Springer in the first round, and you can draft Vlad Jr. in the first round. And then that'll just be like, you know, we'll see how it goes from there.
That sounds good. By the way, I was going to ask you guys on Vladdy Guerrero, you're talking about projections, possibility of like, I mean, where's he at with stolen bases? Is there any opportunity for him to bump that up? Or, I mean, like, what are we looking at to really make him sparkle in that first round?
I mean, the projections have him actually with four.
I know Rob Silver's already excited because he's stealing.
Yeah.
He's already training in the Dominican, so Rob's excited.
I saw that. Best shape of his life already, but could he possibly be in the best shape of his life after last spring when he was truly in the best shape of his life? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he stopped eating grandma's arepas and other fatty foods, and just really, I mean, honestly, like, no joke. I mean, you guys know how it is in fantasy. You've got robots like Phil who just, you know, they just dominate. They trust their numbers and their spreadsheets. My moniker is the gut and everything, but I think a lot of people know that a lot of my analysis and everything is statistically based. You know, it's not just like, oh, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. But there's always exceptions to that. And I feel like, you know, Guerrero was one of those guys. One of the things, and I don't know if I recall telling you guys this, that really stuck out to me, were some of those preseason quotes where, for me, it just seemed like something clicked for the guy where, you know, all these years he hadn't had that, hadn't reached that success. He's had that pedigree with his father. And there was a quote in addition to his losing weight. And it was about, how, you know, Acuna Jr., Tatis, like all these guys, how they're dominating, and look at me, like I can be one of those guys. Like I really want to be one of those guys. And so he really set a goal for himself, always had that natural talent, and he just really kind of needed that motivation. So I was hoping that motivation kicked in. So I was happy to see it.
Vlad, you could have shared that quote with me before I went on my, you know, Vlad Jr. is the worst in the world rant, you know. I should have known. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. And I think actually one thing that I think that I've learned from that experience too is sometimes you do need to put a bet on that upside, right? Mm-hmm. You need to understand that that development isn't necessarily linear and that guys can take that massive step up in the right situation with the right mm-hmm. level of talent. We knew that he was a world-class talent, right, coming up. Mm-hmm. And so to give up on that after such a short period of time was I think, a little bit short-sighted. So I definitely, those type of ceiling picks, so those are the ones that win you leagues, you know, whereas sometimes just kind of going with the boring that at that point in a draft, when you have that level of upside. And I think the Guild was talking about it on his podcast, and I'm sure you've mentioned something similar, but like just that the floor was also really high too. It didn't necessarily mm-hmm. involve stolen bases, but like the batting average was high, you know, the home run should be pretty good, even in like a mediocre season in that lineup, in that, mm-hmm. in those ballparks. It was still a pretty high floor, which I think is a fair argument as well.
You know what I just noticed is that I was just looking at Fangraphs before we came on and just clicked sorted by RBI leaders. And I didn't even realize that he didn't even lead his team in RBIs. That was Granddaddy Teoscar.
Wow.
Teoscar had a monster season and like doesn't get talked about at all. He had a humongous season, stole bases, hit homers, mm-hmm. frips and average. Like he should have picked this year and not getting talked about at all. At least doesn't seem like he's getting talked about at all. So yeah.
The 123 runs like snuck up on me. Like I was like, oh, I think Vlad's like around 100 or something like that. And then I looked at the end and I was like, 123 runs? How exceptional. I mean, just from a season standpoint, that batting average, those runs, those home runs, those RBI. I mean, every single one of them was a little bit painful, but also I really enjoyed doing that, you know, doing that thing. I'm going to miss it a lot. Like doing the tour of shame will definitely be something that I look back on very fondly and hope I never have to do again for anybody else.
By the way, I was wondering, I haven't really started to dive into any sort of analysis for 2022, trying to take a little bit of a break and kind of into football. But I'm wondering, you know, that think about the fantasy teams that basically said, you know what, I love the Blue Jays. I love, you know, these ballparks that they're going to be playing in. Pitching in that division sucks. Like, I'm stacking Blue Jays this year. I'm just getting all that I can. I don't think any of us, or at least I don't know many people that just, you know, other than maybe a little bit by accident, like, oh, Simeon's here, I'll take him. Oh, you know, but I wonder, like, is that something that people are going to kind of look more to in DFS, like just kind of finding that team that just really goes off? Or is that just an outlier? I mean, are we ever going to see a team like that have so many guys in the top 12 of player rater?
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, if like you look at that Razzball player rater, who? Yeah. It's wild. Look at that Razzball player. I think just like three in the top five we were talking about the other day. It's pretty wild. But I think Casey Chaw, like someone talked about, he went like full AL Central, like White Sox and someone else. And he kind of stacked the early part of the season or something along those lines. But the only concern I have with the Jays next year is it'll be a full season in that ballpark with a humidor. That'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. But we'll see for sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I could see it with the White Sox next year, actually. I mean, to Bubba's point about Casey Chaw doing it this year, you know, Eloy's going to be a little, you know, he was third rounder last year. He's going to fall back a little bit because of the injuries. You obviously have Luis Robert, who, you know, is going to be a second rounder probably, if not back into the first rounder. You have Tim Anderson, you know, as well. You have Yasmani Grandal, who you can get a little bit later on in drafts. So, and I'm sure I'm forgetting at least a few guys in there. So maybe there's an option there. And I think the AL Central is still going to be pretty weak. So
don't forget fourth rounder Gavin Sheets.
Oh, how could you forget Gavin Sheets?
I can't wait to see how high he goes.
Mercedes was our DFS
darling.
Yeah, he was good, man. And Mercedes. You know, I also remember was it Yasmani Grandal? Like, remember everybody dropped him. He was hurt for a while, and then a few of us picked him up in OCs where he was dropped. And I think it was like seven RBIs in his first or second game back. Like, just a nice little boost to the categories there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that he came back with
and he hit for average in the second half too.
Yeah, he was unbelievable because he hit like 150 in the first half, and then he carried some of my teams that back end of that year. It was really, really nice to have that on my team for a little bit.
You guys see my shirt, by the way? Yeah. I can't believe I'm wearing this.
Oh, man. Yeah. Hey, Ozzy Albies, that's a Bubba draft pick from the draft we're going over right now.
This is a funny story. I guess I'm a customer of, you know, of RotoWear. I obviously love their stuff. And once a year I get like a shirt in the mail. And in August, I just, you know, got this package. I open it and it's this shirt. And this is what's like at the end of August. And I'm like, is this a long con from, you know, from Kenny there? Like, you know, a preview of the NLCS. And lo and behold, it is. And as soon as the series was over, basically, you know, just the other day, I go in the next shirt in my closet. I haven't seen this thing in a month. I open it and there it is. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to wear it today. So
bummer. Well,
that's beautiful, beautiful.
He's a very good player, that Ozzy Albies is.
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
It's a fun discussion. Well, I was gonna say it's a fun discussion. Like, should he just hit right-handed full time?
Albies, yeah. I mean, it worked for Mullins, right?
Yeah. Yep. I'm pro him trying to do that. He's actually like his WRC plus is under 100 from the left side in his career. It's kind of remarkable, but
yeah, he you know what? There's a lot of prep I'm going to have to do. Like looking back at last season, at the thing, like my blind spots, things I missed. And I feel like, I don't know about you guys, but like for me in every draft, I somehow was skipping over Ozzy Albies or, you know, or like Whit Merrifield, like those boring guys. I'm like, Merrifield, he's over 30. Same with Starling Marte. Like, are these guys really going to run much? And then, of course, those guys are near the top in stolen bases. And, you know, like I got some Mitch Haniger, but I wasn't like over the moon for him, you know. So there's so many like overlooked kind of like those guys, the Kyle Seegers of the world, you know, those like really like unsexy, unintriguing guys that really, you know, I think you need to have a balance of in drafts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I didn't have a lot of those guys either. I had some Merrifield, but I missed on a lot of the guys that kind of broke out this year. So definitely back to the drawing board a little bit.
Yeah, when you look into Ozzy Albies, just enjoy the progressions he's made every year and then think to yourself, what have I been missing for so long? The kid's still young and he's still just like each year the stat line just gets better and better and better. Like it's crazy what he's doing. So I took him in the second round in this draft we're discussing. So yes, a big fan.
I looked at the board. It's a pretty good looking board. Except for it was like well, it was funny. I got to pull it up. It was like, it felt like, I forgot the name, but anyways, I looked at the first round pick and I couldn't make it out. At first I thought it was like, you know, Tyler O'Neill, or I wasn't sure. So I see it's Trey Turner.
Yeah. Oh, the 1-1.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was Dave McDonald.
That was Dave McDonald.
He's a big Trey Turner fan, which, you know, he's going to be unbelievable on the Dodgers next year when he has a full season. Obviously the playoffs were a little bit of a disappointment, but man, he's going to be phenomenal next year, I think.
Yeah, a lot of work to do for us. I mean, you know, kind of figuring out that first round, it's a doozy. There's still so much of it that has to, I think, kind of shape up, you know?
Yeah, it's different than
I want to ask you, Vlad, I want to ask Vlad a question real quick. I know my internet's goofy right now, so I'm on a delay for you guys. But Vlad, as the Dodger guy, someone asked me on Twitter today, and I actually took Betts in the first round of this draft. Where do you see Betts fitting next year? Is he the leadoff guy? Is he the second hitter? Like I know he's injured a lot this year, but do you think we see the old Betts next year, or is this like he's getting older and this is kind of how it's going to go?
So I guess the first question is, you guys are pretty convinced that Dave Roberts isn't going anywhere. He's an owner's, you know, guy, and that they're just gonna hold on to him.
That's what it feels like, sadly, for you.
I don't see why they would move away from him, honestly, but I know that he made a couple questionable moves in the NLCS, but he seems to have the respect of the players, and he's won a championship before. So I don't see him, but I also haven't been following that closely. Honestly, I watched like some of the games, but not all of it. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah, I think it's going to just change throughout the year. And just kind of depends how things go, especially a team like that. Their lineup is constantly fluid, right? I mean, you see like, you know, Justin Turner starting off, you know, hitting third, and then they trade for some guys. He moves down. All of a sudden, he's cold. He's hitting sixth. They've got no problem moving Bellinger down to eighth, and MVP two seasons ago. So Really, it just depends. I'm into Betts. I think next year I'm good with him. I try not to have my Dodgers blinders on. I actually kind of do the opposite. I'm more sort of, you know, cautious with the guys, and I kind of try not to draft with favoritism. But I think he should have a nice little bounce back. Just the fact that he was unhealthy this year, for most of the year, really couldn't get his groove the first year back from, you know, that shortened season and everything. So I think he'll be fine. I don't know if the stolen bases are going to be up there. I don't think he'd necessarily be like a massive average guy anymore, but I see him pretty much being like the leadoff man for the most part. I think he's best suited as the number two. I'd like to see Trey one and him two personally, but hey, I mean, I'm no Dave Roberts.
The other part I have with this is the discussion we had last episode, and I'm kind of kicking myself for it. I know you haven't done your research yet, so this answer could change for anybody listening. Would you rather take Kyle Tucker over Mookie Betts?
Oh, man. I don't like where Kyle Tucker hits in the lineup. I guess some things could change. Like, I don't really know. I'm not really up to date with, you know, is Brantley going to be on the team next year? And just things like that. But, I mean, hey, that's another loaded lineup. I don't know. I think I want to lean towards the younger guy. But then if you're just looking at raw counting stats, like a full season with 680 plus plate appearances, you know, say he misses 15 games or whatever, from Mookie Betts could be epic. You know, you're talking, you know, 240 plus runs RBI and maybe a little bounce back and homers are, you know, homer steals, anything's possible. So it's close. I don't know if I can make that call right now.
All right, Toby, I'll give you one more question for Vlad and let him get out of here, 'cause he's been so courteous with his time, but, You can ask him one more, Toby. It's all yours.
Ooh, I get a question? Oh, yeah, man. I'm not used to hosting this. let's see. A question for Vlad. Man. Who's this year's can you tell us like 6 months in advance who is gonna be this year's Christian Yelich
from your article? Man. Man, so I think people know I was mad at myself all year just because, you know, you want perfection, right? So I in the beginning of my article, I pretty much stated that I really love Vladimir Guerrero and Aaron Judge. But those guys don't fit the profile of it because they're not really stolen base guys. And that was kind of part of the formula. Like, this is somebody that needs to like steal 20 plus bags to be like a fifth rounder plus and then earn first round value. Which I guess ended up being a few people, right? I mean, Simeon, Cedric Mullins, like, you know, that was amazing. Obviously, Guerrero too. Judge had a pretty good season, but yeah, I don't know. I guess it's you know, a lot of work on it. But my point is, I ended up going with Meadows. I was just really feeling it, and yeah, I guess, you know, you had 100 plus. What was it? Runs or RBI or something? He had a pretty good season, but the batting average was just so, what happened to the guy, right? First two seasons just hitting like 290, and then had the bad, you know, COVID season, and then last year just, it was weird and doesn't play every day. I'm just not into that.
Yeah, I mean, 27 home runs, 106 RBI, and he was going like around pick 100 or so, at least initially. Yeah. I know he got pushed up a little bit, but yeah. And I mean, the thing is, you called Vlad Jr. as well. So maybe you should do that like in every time, is just include some of the guys that were like just missed the cut. Because honestly, like, you know, pinning it down to one guy is really, really difficult. You know, it's kind of like when you go into a draft, you don't draft the same guy over and over and over again in the fifth round or whatever it is. I mean, maybe if you're me and like JT Realmuto is available, you always get that one guy. But like, you know, so... You helped out a lot of people with that Vlad Jr. call. So you got to cut yourself a little bit of slack there.
Thank you. Appreciate it. You know, the funny part is I don't really have any like pro baseball friends, but I have one who, just for the sake of keeping him, I won't say who he is, but he used to play minor leaguer, played for the Diamondbacks for a couple seasons back in the day. And he's like a fantasy football buddy. And I remember, you know, I sent him I told him who my this year's Yelich is. Said Meadows, and he was like, "Oh, dude, I don't know about that. I don't like his approach." And it just kind of threw me off. I'm like, "Man, I spent all this time researching. Like, I'm like, and a pro player like doesn't like him." I started doubting my fantasy analysis. So I call it a wash, because he got the 100 plus RBIs, but you know, guy didn't play every day.
Yeah,
yeah, and like 79.
Maybe next year.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Bella. Sorry. Like,
maybe next year, maybe next year, Yelich can be here near next Kristen Yelich. See how it goes. Yes.
Cyclical, baby. Gotta love
fall
it.
From grace, man. Yeah, or Bellinger. I'm curious. Actually, that's a Bellinger, question that I would have for you is it's too early, but like, what are your thoughts on, that's a better question. Like, what are your thoughts on Bellinger? I mean, turning it on in the playoffs, does he have it figured out enough for you to take a shot at him? He's going to be discounted severely from where he's gone in previous drafts. But at the same time, he's like a tinkerer and, you know, it's up and down. So I'm just curious your approach on a guy like that.
Yeah, you guys remember, or Toby, you were there, I think, the first year, or maybe it was the year before, in Arizona, we got to see Cody Bellinger. It was, we got to see him in Arizona Fall League, and man, I just fell in love with his style and approach, and I was really looking forward to him, you know, being on the Dodgers. So I felt, you know, kind of a lot of us that were there watching him were in on him early fantasy-wise, and obviously, you know, won the MVP, and it's just such an insane fall from grace. But, you know, you see it all the time in baseball, how things change. So it's the discipline that really, you know, just sort of worries me about him. I don't know. Haven't really thought about where his ADP is. I don't know where he went in your draft. Is he like is he a fifth rounder? Is he an eighth rounder?
Let's see what we got. I'm going to look for some, the problem with him is you can't just look for one. You can't just look for purple
color
on here.
Yeah.
It's hard. I wish it were easier to see.
I don't know.
Here he is. He's in the sixth round.
Sixth round,
seventh pick.
Got it. Yeah. So I don't know how. Again, it's a little early. I don't know how I feel about him yet. Try to put the Dodger blinders to the side. But my question is: did he just? When did the whole stoner culture begin for him? I thought it was like a good, you know, Arizona healthy boy, whatever. And now, like, I mean, does he really? I guess I'm not up on it. Is he just like smoke weed all the time? Like, where's like the haze from? Where's this come from?
I don't know. I mean, some of the memes though are fantastic, you know, just like, and I don't know. I don't actually know if he's ever talked about smoking pot or like what the deal is there. I've never, I don't know. It's a great question. We need to do some investigative everything. Journalism here.
That could explain everything. Like he was just high all season.
Yeah. Like his post game in the NLDS where he said he was whoever that they were facing, he was shoving it up our butt all night. That was the exact quote. Was pretty impressive stuff. Webb. Like, it's just like you could tell Cody was not there; just didn't care.
Yeah, totally.
But all right, Vlad, we'll wrap it up there.
Thank you.
Go ahead and plug what you got going on. I know you got FTN Daily, FTN Fantasy, all that good stuff. But we really appreciate you jumping on for a little bit.
Yeah, thank you guys. Dude, it feels so good. Like, especially you're in the mix of football and just, you know, the new kid and outside of watching baseball, like I'm not really talking about it. I haven't been super engaged. So this is fantastic. I appreciate the opportunity to sit and talk to you guys. Obviously love your show and, you know, big fans of you guys both professionally and personally. So thanks for having me on. FTN Fantasy for baseball, for football, planning big things over on the FTN baseball side that will be unraveling or unloading or being explained very soon. So, and then, you know, draft guide, whole season full of content, gonna get a good team going, and that's it. So I don't even know who to root for here. Cool. I guess Braves, I guess, since I'm wearing the shirt and it's the NL team. So I don't know. But thank you guys for having me.
That's the way.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for being here, Vlad. This internet delay has us like, who's talking about?
I wasn't sure. I was just like Bubba's new things, like, you know, just whatever Toby seeks to interrupt, but I get it now. Yeah.
We're off our game. Bubba normally hosts everything, you know? He does a fantastic job. So I'm just, you know, out of my element here. But no, appreciate you hopping on, Vlad.
Thank you guys. I appreciate it. We'll see you soon.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Vlad.
Bye, man.
All right,
bye.
Toby. There we go.
Sorry, Bubba. We keep on talking over each other with this. I apologize.
Yeah, the internet's been so good for like 2 months now. I haven't had any issues. And tonight of all nights, like, boom, here we go. We're going to do it. We're going to have some fun on episode 100. I had the guests lined up. I'm like, just got to screw this whole thing up. But it worked out. It was fun. We had two special guests tonight. So that was great.
Yeah, that was awesome.
We might not get as far in the draft this time. But yeah. Good, good. All right, let's continue on. We're in round 8. Let's get through round 10. We'll call the night there, and then next week we'll finish the rest of the draft, and we'll just do the second half of the draft real quick next week. But let's wrap up. We're in round 8 now. You took Will Smith in round 7. We just talked about Varsho, or actually finish your thoughts on Varsho. I had to stop you there because Vlad was coming on. So we were talking Varsho. My one thing with Varsho real quick, my only concern I'll ask you is we know how good he can be, but Kelly's still there. So how locked into playing time do you think the situation is?
Well, I mean, the thing is he's got the catcher eligibility still. So he doesn't need to be a full-time guy in order to still be a valuable contributor. And I think we got a pretty good indication. I mean, I think there's a couple things, right? Is at a certain point, like he's through all of his, you know, team manipulation and stuff like that. And the question is, can he contribute? And I think that was very pretty clear that he was able to contribute last year. I'm trying to get up his projection because Steamer does have its projections up for initial projections for next year. But yeah, I mean, he was really good in the second half. So here we go, Varsho. So he's projected for 489 plate appearances, which seems reasonable, right? Even if he's just in a righty-lefty split, he could still get to that. 19 home runs and 8 stolen bases, which honestly, like, seems a little light to me, you know, from a stolen base perspective, at least. I see a guy who's got pretty solid skills, generally speaking, that there's not a lot of competition on that team, especially for a young guy that they're going to want to get plate appearances now. They're going to want to get him exposure. He can play. He's going to maintain catcher eligibility, I think, for next year just because he can be that backup. He actually, in some ways, gives them some additional roster flexibility, if you think about it. Like having a guy who can play the outfield and can play catcher on a regular basis allows you to carry like one fewer catcher, maybe. You know, so I think he's going to play a lot. I think he'll be really good. I think he's the type of guy who could he have an exceptional season and really beat out those projections? Absolutely. But if he's in line with where those projections have him right now, then, you know, he's going about where he should go. So, yeah.
All right.
You're trying to
read. Yeah, I'm trying to read one. Round 7 wraps up with Rendon, which is interesting because, you know, I don't know what to expect of Rendon. It's probably just one guy I cross off my list. But round 7 makes it interesting. I'll say that much. And round 7. Then it goes Pablo Lopez. Can't tell who the next guy is. Shane McClanahan. That's not Jose Berríos. That is who is that? I apologize, people. This is getting bad. Yeah, I'm going to pass on that one.
It's okay. Let's see. I'm going to try to, like, go in.
After here. McClanahan. It's bad. It's real bad. But your next pick is a third baseman.
This is so funny for people who can't who aren't looking at the draft board. They're like, what is wrong with you guys? You can't see who you pick? And it's like, man, it's tough. It's tough. I think that's Barnes. It's Matt Barnes. It was Matt Barnes.
Matt Barnes. There you go. Closer Matt Barnes because those they were flying off the boards. That is correct.
And then I took
he went, and then you took a third baseman.
Yeah, I took Alex Bregman here in the 8th round, I think we're in right now, like pick 106 or 116. I can never remember which one it is. But, you know, I was actually a little bit torn. I think Bregman here is really good value. We're talking about a guy, well, I don't know if I should use the word value, but I think potential value, perceived value. Just because he, like, this is a guy who was producing top round contributions, you know, as recently as a couple of years ago. There's been some injury history, so he's obviously fallen off. The Astros are going to have a really good lineup. He's going to be in the middle of it, hitting second or third. He's going to score a ton of runs. He'll get RBI. He'll hit enough home runs, like 20, 25 home runs. The batting average should also be decently good. And I think that's the one area where I think my team is a little weak just because it doesn't have any average anchors yet. I picked up Brantley later on to maybe be a little bit of that, although it's a little bit of a sketchy profile at this point with such little power, not really stealing bases. It's pretty empty batting average, but it at least contributes something. So I went with Bregman here. My one concern is obviously the injuries and also the fact that he's really not stealing at all anymore. And so, you know, here being a little maybe light on speed than I'd want to be, I had some questions about going there, but given, you know, what I think he can contribute and the fact that I think he's going to be really solid one way or the other, I was happy with the pick.
Yeah, no, I like Bregman in round 8. I was kind of shocked that he fell that far, to be honest. I think, you know, this year is kind of a downer for somebody who's banged up and everything. So I think it's a great pick. I was hoping for the next pick to fall to me, but Simeone took Grandal. Like, if I could have Grandal fall to me in round 8 in this draft, that would be beyond excited. But that did not happen because Michael Simeone is not a friend of mine anymore. But that's just the way that's going to go. But since he took Grandal, it made me change things up, which he did. He made me change things up a lot in this draft, which did not make me happy. I got my fourth pitcher off the board. I just kept going with starting pitchers I was a big, big fan of this year, and I think it can keep going in the right direction. And I went with Chris Bassitt, who was absolutely filthy this year, 157 innings and 27 starts, picked up 12 dubs. He was striking guys out at a 25% clip, 18.8% K to walk, which is still pretty darn good. He had that freak injury, of course, which was less than ideal. He took the line drive off his face, but didn't miss that much time because he's a crazy Aussie who just battled back through the whole thing. He missed about a month. He was 8-17 was the day he got hit. He was back 9-23. He made two appearances through three innings basically in each start, which is a big plus for me. We saw him get back on the bump. He's already talked about it in interviews, how he feels, how he's ready, like all these things that I'm not worried about him one bit. And as my SP4, I'm beyond excited to have Chris Bassitt on my team going into this year, especially for the fact, he'll be in Oakland still. He's not a free agent until next year. So, yeah, Chris Bassitt as my SP4. I wanted Grandal. Grandal did not fall to me. So Chris Bassitt was my 8th-round pick.
Yeah, and I love that pick as well. You know, Bassitt is – you know, he's solid. He's really, really solid. And he throws a lot of innings. And there's something about A's pitchers, you know, they, whether it's that ballpark or whatever it is, just are solid, solid players. Like they're never really like upper echelon, but there's so many solid pitchers that they produce. And I even saw our friend Nick Pollock had a tweet recently about how, you know, I think he was saying at First Pitch Arizona, he wasn't a huge Bassitt fan, but he dug in a little bit and found out how good his four-seam fastball has been. And so that changed his mind a little bit as well. So I'm, I like Bassitt. I like this pick a lot. That's why I'm wearing this A's hat right now.
There we go. After that went Rizzo, Luis Severino, Schwarber, Winker. I think that can be an interesting pick that'll be discussed a lot this offseason for what he can do. Camilo Doval went in round 8. That helium skyrocketed in a hurry. Not saying it's the wrong pick, but I'm just surprised it went that high. Carlos Rodon towards the end of round 8, Craig Kimbrell, who will be a free agent, or not free agent, but he's most likely to get traded by Chicago. And then Framber Valdez wrapped up round 8. So anything stand out to you? Because these are a lot of very good ball players this year sitting in round 8 still. It felt like a rather deep draft.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Rodon's super interesting because he's great if he's healthy and he can maintain his velocity increase. You know, where he ends up and whether he's able to do that is going to be a major question. So a big kind of boom bust pick there, I think. Outside of that, you know, yeah, it's fine. I mean, the thing that I notice is that hitters really thin out pretty quickly, you know? So you really, hitters thin out quickly for sure.
Yep. Big time, big time. That's why starting pitchers deep. And that's why also when guys just kept taking closers, I just said, screw it. And I take bats basically is where things went. It might backfire tremendously, but we'll wait and see there. Starting off round 9, Jared Walsh. That's a very, very intriguing one as draft season goes on to discuss, because he started out like gangbuster, kind of slowed down, but his end line was still very solid. He's still gonna be hitting that middle order, so that's an interesting one. Max Muncy in round 9 is another guy. You got Turner, Chris Bryant, Marcus Stroman. Big bump for him. I love Marcus Stroman, though. I'm kind of biased. Cronenworth, it's like my round here of guys I love. Nate Eovaldi went right after Cronenworth. Kyle Hendricks, your boy, went right there. And then I took my first baseman / outfield eligible Ryan Mountcastle in round 9. And this is probably more me saying, okay, I'm going to believe in the young kid's tools. He could be the offense. He could be the rookie of the year. For all we know, he won't be, but he could be. Type thing. He finished that well. He finished with 33 home runs, hit .255, even stole 4 bags. The power was never a big concern for me. It was more the consistency with the average. I'll take .255 in this day and age. I think there's a lot to like there when it comes to Ryan Mountcastle, the barrel rates, the hard hit rates. The max EV is a 114.8. The X stats show he might have been a little lucky, but still overall not too bad. And the fact that he's still super young, going to play half his games in Camden Yards is always a great thing. So I went with Ryan Mountcastle there. it wasn't one I was fully in love with, but looking at the board and looking what first basemans were already gone, looking at a little bit of flexibility still, which could be nice as things go on throughout the season, it didn't make me. That's kind of why I went with Ryan Mountcastle in round 9.
Yeah, I really like that pick. You know, Mountcastle, I think, is really solid in that lineup. He's going to be hitting middle of the order. You know, the batting average is decent enough. He obviously has some chase issues, but if you're not in an OBP league, then, you know, as long as he's able to continue to make that quality of contact when he does hit the ball, I think he's going to be really good. So I like that pick a lot for you. And he has the multi-position eligibility, which is also a benefit in the draft and hold. You know, the one guy who's kind of interesting to me. So here, we're going to play a little trivia here. What do you think Jake Cronenworth's final line for the season was?
I looked at it like a week ago, but it was surprising that it wasn't as good as I thought, but it was still very good. I'm going to say like 262, and he had like 18 homers or something.
21 home runs, 266. Yeah, you're doing well.
Yeah. I want to say like 71 RBIs and like 84 runs scored.
94 runs, 71 RBI, 4 stolen bases.
Hit 71 on the dot.
Yeah, you did a great job. You did much better than I would have. Honestly, I thought he did a lot better just based on like, you know, he made the All-Star team and, you know, and it's a solid enough profile. But like at this point in the draft, and this is not to criticize whoever took him, because I think it's a solid draft. There's not really like any major concerns, I don't think. Like, you know, like he's a solid pick, but I just don't think he necessarily has like the upside. Like, so for instance, like a guy who went right after him is Brian Reynolds. And so I think about Brian Reynolds, I'm like, who's likely to finish with a better batting average? Brian Reynolds. Who's likely to finish with a higher, more home runs? Brian Reynolds. Who's likely to finish with more runs in RBI? Maybe that's like kind of close. And who's likely to finish with more stolen bases? They're kind of even there, you know? And so I don't mean to criticize any particular pick, but Jake Cronenworth just really surprised me because I thought he had an awesome year last year. And when you look at the profile, it's kind of like, you know, like he's not really good or great at anything. And I have to dive in to find out if some of that was like BABIP related or, you know, what exactly was behind some of that happening. But that was one of the picks that kind of stood out at me because, you know, it just more like a comment on Jake Cronenworth and whether we think he's, you know, he's all that good. I don't know.
The one thing I'll say for Cronenworth that I think will get boosted up throughout draft season, he's eligible all over the diamond. Which is tremendous.
That's very true.
Secondly, now I thought it was a larger gap, and I could be wrong with my dates. I'm just looking for how many games he missed. I remember he was hit on the hand, and he had a fracture in his hand, and he missed like a week and then played through the rest of the year. And it might have just been like the last 2 weeks because he 9-10 to 9-17, he didn't play. So maybe that was it. But from 9-17 to the end of the season, he hit 212 with one home run and 4 runs and 7 RBIs. Still only struck out 8.6% of the time. And had a 208 BABIP over that stretch. That's not a big enough stretch to skew the whole stat line, like you're saying, because I'm with you. I was starting to do brief research for the Black Book, and Cronenworth has first base eligibility but won't have it next year thing because he played like...
Oh, I think he should. He's got 24 games at first base, so an NFBC.
Okay, so maybe it's a different position I'm thinking of, but... I know there was where's it at? Yeah, so he's gonna have first base eligibility. I'm doing first baseman. That's why he was on my list. And yeah, he played in 24 games. You are correct. 24 games at first, 94 at second, and 41 at shortstop. So that's gonna play pretty well. I thought he played outfield. He didn't play any outfield at all. But so he'll get you first, second, and shortstop eligibility. So middle infield, corner infield. I'd love to see what the downfall was because it was a gangbuster out the gate. But that eligibility alone, I think, gets him up draft boards in a big way. Plus, you still got Tatis. You still got Machado. You still got guys in that lineup that are good. The offense should be – like, that whole team just tanked in the second half. Like, the whole team just tanked in the second half. I'd give him the benefit of the doubt. That's just my thoughts on that.
All right. I think that's fair. That's a fair – and I shouldn't have picked out one guy because I don't think it's that – bad of a pick. But I was just like, Jake Cronenworth just surprised me because he wasn't that good this year.
No, and I'm 100% with you, because like I said, that's why I kind of knew part of his stat line when I looked like a week ago. It surprised me. I expected it to be like 100 runs scored and like a 305 average or something, and it wasn't any of those things. Like I was surprised. I'm with you. All right. Yeah. So after I took Mountcastle, Brian Reynolds went off the board, as you said, and you took
I wanted Brian Gilbert. Reynolds there.
Yes. But you went back starting pitching.
I did, yeah. Yeah, I mean, going in, I really wanted to go heavy, pretty heavy starting pitching and pitching in general to begin with. I think that's the approach, is I think maybe less concentration early on starting pitchers, you know? Like, I mean, not that I won't get, you know, aces, but just not as much of a focus there. And then, but getting more depth in starting pitching, I think, is something that I'll feel a lot better about. I really like Logan Gilbert a lot. I think he's fantastic. I think he's really, really good pitcher. When we take a look at I'm looking at the wrong things here. You know, sometimes you get into these rolling average graphs and you're thinking you're looking at a hitter when you're really looking at a pitcher. So with Logan Gilbert, we had a 6.9% over his last five games. You know, he had a 23.3% K rate. He had a 6.9% walk rate. So like around a 17-18% K minus walk rate, which was good. The swinging strike rate was up. You know, the O swing was decent. The Z contact was really good. It was pretty, pretty dominant there. So I'm not doing a very good job of talking about why I think he's really good, but I felt like, you know, when we look at his overall numbers, 117 whip, he's not really walking guys. His K minus walk for the full season, so not those last five games, was 19.9%, 12.4% for the full season. O swing above 30, which is nice, more than a K per inning. I really like him a lot. I think he's a really good pitcher, and he's going to be somebody that I want in drafts next year.
Yeah, I like Gilbert a lot. I think we saw some big strides from him, so I definitely can get with you on that one. Syndergaard went a couple picks later. Brian Hayes, that's going to be an interesting guy to dig on. Then Justin took Shane Baz at the end of round 9. That's definitely a risk-reward play. I could see that. And then you went Willy Adames. And then the outfield run went wild. Verdugo, Carlson, Christian. No, that's not Christian Yelich. Yeah, it's Christian Yelich. Yelich.
Yeah, yeah, it's Yelich.
Christian Yelich in round 10, right before your pick of
Robbie Grossman.
I can read it.
I grabbed Grossman here. I needed stolen bases. I was a little light on stolen bases. Grossman's just, he's so solid. Like, it just feels like 15-15 will happen. 2020, just like this year, you know, is likely. He's not like over the hill. He runs. He's going to hit leadoff on that team, or top of the lineup on that team, which should get theoretically better offensively. The batting average isn't going to be stupendous. Like, it's not going to be great from him, but he's just so, so solid. I just really appreciate him as a player. So he's 32. Yeah. 23-20, 239 batting average. The last 3 years, you know, he's at 240, 241, 239. So you're going to get around 240. Steamer has him at 237, which isn't great, but it isn't awful. I really like and appreciate the profile of him a lot. Going here as like a 2020 guy is something that I like a lot. And he's got like really solid skills. Like, he walks a ton. He's, you know, very patient at the plate. So just thought he was solid contributor, fit well with the team overall.
Yeah, I love Robbie Grossman. He fills up all five categories, as you mentioned. Should hit towards that top of the order still. Should be no problems at all. He was a steal in drafts in 2021, like an absolute steal. He was one of those guys that actually was like a game changer and potentially winning your league, because you got him for free and you never took him out of your lineup. Like, he was, and it was funny too, because I remember it was like the first week or two, he like didn't get a hit, but he had like a 400 OBP because he's walking all the time and still stealing bases. So you're kind of torn, because it was like you needed the average, but he's doing everything else. Then it all started clicking. So, big fan of Robbie. After Robbie, Simeone took Franmil Reyes, and then I went to the shortstop position. And this was tough for me, because we know how deep shortstop is, and there are still some decent guys out there. But I also wanted to, kind of like last year, make sure I got one of the bigger ones that I wanted before digging into the other ones. And I went Dansby Swanson. He hit 248 this past year, 27 homers, 9 stolen bases. One reason why I went with him is, A, he's still in that very good Braves offense. Ideally, if he hit towards the top, it'd be great. Probably won't with Albies and Acuna coming back. I'm understanding that. But still, he did a lot of this damage without that. The power is legit. He's going to toss in some steals. He's going to hit you. You know, he's hit 274 last year, 251 the year before. His BABIP at 297 was the lowest he's had since 2018. So maybe there's definitely some room for improvement in that regard when you look at Dansby Swanson. And then when you look at the StatCast metrics, there it is. You know, he still had an exit, a max exit velo compared to 2020. His barrel rate was the same as 2020. Hard hit rate was slightly better than 2020. The X stats show things were good to go. He had a very solid season. He's consistent. He plays pretty much every day. Won't light the world on fire, but at the same time can be very productive. Like you said earlier with some of the Braves guys, going to be in a great lineup. So you got nothing to worry about there. So I went Dansby Swanson there. I know I could have waited and went with a different shortstop potentially and went somewhere else, but I've got so much. Maybe I should have went with a closer there, but I didn't like any of the closers at that point in the draft. Maybe I should have just done it, but I went Dansby Swanson in round 10.
I really like that pick. I think it's super solid. I mean, look at his line, you know, from this past year. I thought he had a really bad year. You know, I know he started off really slowly, but then when you look at the final line, I mean, he hit 248, as you mentioned, with the lowest BABIP of his in a while since he's had the hard hit rates that he's had in the StatCast metrics. 27 home runs, great contributor there. 78 runs, 88 RBI, and 9 stolen bases. I mean, that's, to me, that's a pretty solid line right there. Balanced line, solid, and he was not the player that, you know, I think people thought he was maybe going to be. So I still think there's room for upside there as well.
Yeah, that's the goal. Rounding out round 10, I believe it was Tony Gonsolin, which I'm kind of surprised he went that early, but maybe I'm misreading that. Mitch Haniger, that's a big one. Lance McCullers will be interesting, especially with the news now that he's injured and not throwing still to this day.
Oh, that's so. Zach Greinke.
Oh, Greinke. Okay, well, another guy I wouldn't have drafted. But Haniger... Lance McCullers is going to be a very, this is what happens when you draft early, folks. That's all I'm going to say. This is the tough parts here. Yoan Moncada could be a sneaky one. If he, I'm a believer in him still to this day. We'll see. Erod, love that pick. Big Erod fan. And then Alex Kirilloff's another guy that I have a feeling is going to be moving up draft boards once reports of health come out. Cause looking at him as well, the dude was mashing baseballs, got the wrist injury, really wasn't the same afterwards. Eventually I'd have surgery. That's why he missed the season. I think he's big things from Kirilloff. I'm a big fan of him. And then CJ Krohn and Zach Gallen round out the top 10. So fun round. Any final players here in round 10 that stood out to you?
You know, I liked Kirilloff. I was hoping for him later on. The only concern I have is it seems like a persistent wrist issue. I know it was something that sidelined him last year as well, I believe. So just something to be cognizant of, but I think he's a really good hitter and I think he can contribute a lot in the middle of that lineup playing every day. Zach Gallen is another one. We know how his season started. There's obviously some injury concerns, so it's a little funny to see Dave McDonald take him there. I think Dave might be watching, so hi, Dave. And but I also think, like, last year we're talking about a guy who was going in the third round, you know, and I haven't done a deep dive on Zach Gallen, but it seems like the D-back season just generally was kind of downhill from the get-go.
Yeah.
And I think that's a difficult environment to pitch in. So hopefully, you know, maybe they won't be better next year, but hopefully he'll have some health. And I think that could be a big, a nice little pick there in the 10th round.
Yeah. It's fun. Cause like CJ Krohn's a guy now he's going to be in Coors for sure is interesting. Erod had the big year. Like I said, Yoan Moncada, I think is going to get a lot of buzz this off season. So we could see him jump up. It's going to be really interesting to see, cause we keep talking about these guys that could potentially jump up. So someone's got to fall. And that'll be the fun part of kind of dissecting the fun names and the kind of guys that shouldn't be there type things as we keep going through the offseason and breaking it down. So next week we will finish up. We'll go through the final 13 rounds a lot quicker because they're not as – well, they're important, but not as important. So we can kind of fly through those as well. But we did have a listener question from our buddy Dave Petroziello. He asked, Tommy Edman is interesting. I wasn't a big fan last year, but position and speed – need got me to draft him on one team. Same here, Dave. I had him a lot of places. With 30 steals and not terrible in the other categories, he is worth the draft price. In this draft, he looks like he went 99. Someone, I think maybe Simeone, wrote that he looks to have potential for more power. If it wasn't Simeone, it was Micah, he later found out. If he does have 15 to 20 home run potential, I'll have to look deeper myself. How high can you justify him going? So let's say he's 15, say he's 15-25, Toby. We know for a decent average, leading off for the Cardinals, where would you have Tommy Edman going?
Further up. You know, this is one of those things where I didn't have Edman on a ton of teams. I haven't really had a chance to dive in. He's, you know, projected, his steamer projection is 266 with 14 home runs and 25 stolen bases, which puts him, let's see, this is always fun. We get to like see where guys are right now before we have a chance to really dive in. Haven't seen him yet. I'm just trying to see where Tommy Edman is on here, right here, number 94, right after Dalton Varsho. Well, not on the draft board, but like in my spreadsheet in terms of valuations, $16 player ranked number 94. So he's going about right, I would say, in terms of having more, you know, home run power. I would agree in the sense that, you know, over his career, his home run per fly ball rate has been 8.8%, and it's 6.3% this year. You know, he had 24 barrels this year. When you assume that, you know, about like 55-60% of barrels should be home runs, you know, he's a little short. So I do think that that steamer projection, that 266, 14 home runs, 25 stolen bases seems about right to me. Actually, that seems like a really sound projection. So, and with that being the case, I think where he was, you know, where he's drafted and where he's going is totally fine. I think it's a team build question in terms of how much you need stolen bases at that point in draft. And it's nice to have that pocket of stolen bases, like outside of the front end of the draft. And then also let's see, he played. So he has outfield and second base still. So he still got that dual position eligibility. He did lose shortstop, but yeah, I mean, I think overall that's really solid profile. I can see him going, you know, anywhere from like 80 to 100. Is a totally reasonable place to snag him, depending on what your team needs. And, you know, he could always get a little bit lucky. He did have 11 home runs and 349 plate appearances in 2019. So if you could get close to replicating that, obviously I think, you know, regression was coming for him, but let's say he replicates that and he puts up like 18 home runs instead or something of that nature, you know, then that's a pretty incredible line. You know, 18-25, and yeah. So anyways, that's a long way of saying, yeah, I think it's a really solid pick. I think everything about it seems really solid.
Yeah. I took him in a lot of places last year too, Dave, for similar reasons, as he mentioned, because he had the flexibility last year, which is huge. And he, steals. That was one thing I knew I can get from him was steals. I felt good in homers. As we looked back on last year, I did not do good in homers. Like, he was one of my better home run hitters, which tells you how bad things were. But, yeah, I think when people realize how quick steals go in this draft, they're going to move him up the draft board. So I could see him, like you said, getting into the 65, 70-ish range pretty easily. So I think if you want him, you're going to have to go get him type thing and see where that one plays out. But all right, Toby, we'll wrap it up with that one. The internet.
I think we have Ryan Roof's question, don't we?
Do we want to? I was trying to save that till we're done with the entire draft because.
Oh, is it like a look back on it?
It's,
okay.
It's the biggest surprises of the draft. So,
okay.
I want to do that one next week. So, Ryan,
oh, like man, said, he even tweeted us. It. He was like,
we're saving it. Like,
we're waiting for it.
I'm trying to do it justice because I don't want to jump ahead. Sure. We still have the rest of the draft to talk about.
I think that's a good call. It's called a cliffhanger. Right,
yeah,
Bubba. It's called a cliffhanger.
You have to keep listening.
Exactly. We're stringing you along. Like maybe five or six podcasts from now, we'll actually answer the question. But you have to listen to the whole podcast just to find out whether
episode 200. We will get to it. I promise.
For sure. But, yes, you can be. You'll be our special guest on it as well, Ryan.
Exactly. We'll bring you on, and we'll answer it to your face. And hopefully, the internet's better. But we'll wrap it up there. We'll finish next week. So it'll be a 3-part episode. I feel like it's like a Housewives reunion or something. We have 3 episodes that we're doing for this whole draft. It was a great time, but it's a good exercise in kind of getting the brain rolling for 2022. We'll start talking steamer projections and start doing things here pretty soon, but lots of fun stuff. Toby, final thoughts as we wrap up episode 100.
Well, first of all, thank you to Vlad for being on the show, both Vlad Jr. for his season and Vlad Sedler. It was awesome to have him here for the 100th episode. And just a thank you to you as well, Bubba. It's been a great 100 episodes. Always look forward to it on Tuesday nights, and very enjoyable. Thank you for holding the fort down all the time. And yeah, it's been a fantastic 100 years. And thanks to the listeners who have stuck with us throughout, and even new listeners. I got this really, well, actually, I can't actually say it. I'll say it later. I can't say it on the podcast. I'd be making a huge mistake, but you know, just people reaching out and saying nice things is always really nice. So
that's great. That is great. Yeah, no, it's cool. I love doing the podcast with you. It's great. Like hanging out with you in Florida or in Arizona, and hopefully the barf draft again someday. Like that'll be fun. It's fun to just be like, yeah, Toby, let's go hang out. Like it's because we talk to each other once a week. It's different than the normal. So I always enjoy doing it. Like I said, when we first started, I like it like really because you're a very statistical, analytical brain. I'm more of a caveman brain, and we work really well together, I think, kind of filling the void between both sides of it type deal. So I think it's a good mix. I think people like it and appreciate everybody that does listen and puts up with my goofiness as and all the fun stuff there. So to 100 more, Toby, and more importantly, to next week's episode.
For sure. And just to your caveman brain can't comment, just to let you guys all know that the caveman brain guy beat the analytics guy in the one league we played together last year. So just in case anybody's curious about how that works out and whether that's just humility. And I'll also point out, Bubba, I can't believe this hasn't come up yet, but in the Barf Football League, you rode. I was up like 30 points, 35 points, maybe even more. And Bubba had
Alvin Kamara.
Is it Alvin Kamara? Yeah. Alvin Kamara going in the Monday night game when it's a PPR league. And so he beat me by 4 points in like the battle for last place in that league. I actually feel bad. I feel so out of it in season long football this year. I haven't been able to get into it. It's been rough, but
I'm with
that
you.
Does not take you away from the fact that you beat me. You beat me.
I appreciate you, but I'm with you. Like most of my season long football teams are not doing good right now. And so it's been a rough go. So that one, I literally logged in last night. I'm like, hey, Kamara's doing good. I think I got him in a league. And I'm like, oh, look at this. So yeah, miracles happen. I wasn't going to rub it in because we're both like not going to make the playoffs. So I wasn't worried about it, but it was just like, I kind of felt bad. Like out of all people, it had to be Toby. It couldn't have been like, you know, Matty Wood or, you know, Howard Bender or somebody. It had to be Toby. Like, come on. But yeah, it's fun. But yeah, we'll keep plugging along. We'll keep getting her done. But everybody, check out Toby on Twitter at BatFlipCrazy. I'm on Twitter at BDNTrick. Episode 100 in the books. Catch you guys next week.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.